that are going to take 15 to 30 minutes.
No.
Okay. And I was going to say.
Well, think of it. And when you, before you leave, tell me what pictures you want.
Side three, or tape three, January 14th, 1988, Selma Bergman, Tchaikovsky, Marcia Rip.
You mean classical form?
Yeah.
But I'm bending. I can do whatever's necessary.
Well, I guess you're saying that the Pittsburgh platform included the idea that if you saw it necessary to go back, that you could, but it was still part of the platform. Is that about right?
Well, I don't know. I don't know all the points in the Pittsburgh platform, but what I call classic Judaism, or Reform Judaism, it goes way back. That's not on yet, is it?
Yeah, it is on. You were now talking about the other two figures. We'll get back. Other two figures
are we were discussing my grandmother's oil painting. And I told you that there are four children on it, even though there were two children after this painting was done. There was Rosa and Bella were born afterwards in the New Bella family. But these are the four children of Solomon and Emma New Bella of New York City. My grandmother was born in New York City. And the two boys I mentioned were Jake and Eddie. And now the two girls were my grandmother and Aunt Sarah, great Aunt Sarah. I didn't know which was which. I went to New York after I received the painting. I took a picture of it. And I went to see my mother's cousin, who was still living then. And I showed her, and I said, which is your mother and which is my grandmother? And she pointed out which it was, and I had them reversed. I didn't know. So she helped me determine that. And she was thrilled that I had it, because it stayed in the family that way.
And now, this is a very primitive-looking painting, a primitive
there's
style.
There's no signature. Gordon Washburn told me that itinerant painters carry their own canvases with them. They stayed in the homes of people and just put the faces on. If you look closely, the faces look a little distorted from the bodies, not quite even. But it's definitely primitive with no signature. And I'm thrilled to have it.
And now, this influenced your ideas when you went to have your children's portraits painted.
Well, we didn't paint our children. We skipped that generation. We have all paintings of our grandchildren. There are only six of them so far. We have six and a half more to go. And I've used Manette Bickel here in Pittsburgh to paint those. And did I put this on tape, though?
No, but it's unique the way you've had them done.
For my 65th birthday, my husband said I could have the grandchildren's all paintings painted. So we started, we only had six grandchildren at that time. That was 11 years ago. I mean, that was 6 years ago. I'm 71 now. So Manette started painting children, and she still has six and a half more to go. So I call her my court painter. And I said I have the biggest museum of Manette Bickel art any place, because Alan wanted my painting. And I said if I have mine, he has to have his. And the fact that I have this Caroline Neubauer, who married Ike Lonergan, my grandmother, had a painting in this one I'm telling you about. When they were older, she and my grandfather had a painting done in formal clothes. And I have their individual oil paintings hanging here in the living room. And near where the Neubauer painting is. So that's as a mature woman, and my grandfather, Lowenstein. So when I had my painting done by Manette, I asked her to be in formal clothes, and Alan in his tux, she said that was the first formal. She usually did people in informal clothing. That was the first formal clothing she'd have, but I was basing it on the fact that my grandparents had theirs done in formal clothes. And so we hope to have other six grandchildren done, and the seventh one comes.
Now, the grandchildren are done on individual canvases.
Well, because I remembered that having the large painting of the Neubauer children, how my children will decide who gets that or what to do with it, I don't know, because I have five children and only one painting there. So when Manette was doing our paintings, I said, I want individual canvases. Someday I want each of these grandchildren to have his and her own painting. Well, it bothered her because she wanted them together as a group. So she dreamed up the idea of putting background in that tied together. And she put it in one huge frame, three individual canvases. And for the Ackerman children, my daughter Barbara's children, she did the backyard at Barbara's house, the trees and the fence. And not the fence, the wall. And then when she did the Benji Bergman in Philadelphia, she happened to be in Philadelphia, so she went over to their house and took pictures of him in his house. So his background is his own house. And then for my children, the twins from New York, when they were here to have theirs done, she used the back of our house at 803 Devonshire Street. And so we have that as a memento, even though we moved from there. And someday these children will have their own paintings, but right now I have them together as a family. And of course, Benji now has a younger sister and brother waiting for those to be done. And Helen has two children, and Jim has two children. So,
your own portrait gallery.
My own portrait gallery. I tell I have the largest collection of Bickles in the city.
As we were getting on the tape, Chuck, you were asking some about the Pittsburgh platform before we finished. Do you want this on tape?
Selma asked me how I perceived her Judaism. And I said, I feel as though she adheres to the Pittsburgh platform.
I don't know what Pittsburgh platform
is. Well, that's a group met here in Pittsburgh, I've forgotten the exact date, to put down the rules for Reform Judaism. Now, years later, we were at a Union of American Hebrew Congregations meeting in Montreal, Canada, and they were trying to put down new rules for Reform Judaism. They were saying, we don't know what to tell our individual congregations, and if we're Reform Jews, we should have certain rules to go by. And I remember Dr. Solomon B. Freehoff standing up in Montreal, Canada, and saying, this is not what progressive Judaism is. We do not have set rules like the Orthodox do that you have to adhere to. We can change rules as we go along. It's up to each individual rabbi to interpret to his congregation what he wants them to have for Reform Judaism. So that I was sisterhood president at that time. The minute we got back, I went to him, I said, you're our rabbi. I've got to have you come to a meeting and tell us what you expect from us as Reformed Jews. But I've never forgotten that he said we cannot have a rigid form for Reformed Judaism. So that's why I accept Bar Mitzvah now. The reason my children are not Bar Mitzvah is because at that time we didn't have it and we didn't choose to have it. Nowadays, our grandchildren have been Bar Mitzvah.
So it's reformed instead of reformed?
Yes, it's reformed.
That's very good.
And it's progressive. You can change whatever makes it meaningful. And there's a lot. We're trying to bring in a different singing group. I'd lean toward a cantor if I had the right sacred music training, because I feel that the right music is important. And we have a cantorial soloist now at the show, and a choir, and an organ, which Orthodox Judaism would not have. And we have an organ. And right now, my husband and I are working on we're preparing the organ in the chapel, and we're trying to put that back in.
Very interesting. So you are leaning toward a cantor?
I don't know if we'll get a cantor, just someone who sings sacred music, who's been trained taught that. We don't know. But I can accept that. I can accept what benefits Judaism and makes it more meaningful.
Very interesting. Well, we're ready to complete this interview now, unless there is anything else. We seem to have covered so many things.
You asked me you wanted to know my opinions. And I think that what goes on today with young couples, not my young couples like that, as they got married and they're raising their families the old traditional way, but so many people who live together without any shame attached to them, it's taken for granted by their families that they just have a friend and they don't care if they get married or don't get married. I feel that affects the children who are born. When some of them are married and have children, then they divorce and live with someone. And those children see that. They think that's a way of life. And I feel that's not teaching the young people the proper way to belong. And I've seen children who've been affected by that. They then go out and live with people because they saw their parents doing it. Even though their parents had been married and divorced, they had taken up with other mates and they come and go, and I've seen that happen. Among our Jewish people, too, don't think our Jewish people are any different than the Christians in the community. So I think it's wrong that I don't want to lose the family as a unit. And I don't think we will. I heard Bennett Cerf speak once for council, I think, and he said the pendulum has to swing back. Even though there are things we don't approve of today, it'll go back to traditional things. And I think it will. But but I'm shocked by what's on TV. And they show actual acts going on, actual sexual acts going on TV. And children see that. So I don't want censorship, but they should use good taste. Any other questions? That wasn't a question. That's
you know,
important.
We'd like you to live to be 120. But how would you like to be remembered?
I'd like to be remembered as a compassionate person, as a friendly person, interested in other people. I always felt I was interested in people. And I'd like to be remembered that I raised 5 wonderful children, and they're raising wonderful grandchildren. And I'd like to be known as my husband's wife because he's made his own law. He's had his state done, so I didn't go into too much detail on him. He's already in the fight. And he's opened a new world to me in the things he's introduced me to, his honors and his organizations. We've had some wonderful experiences through his experiences. But I'd like to be remembered as someone who's, as a little girl, I remember wishing that everybody in the world loved me. And I think we all have that feeling. It isn't just me. I'd like to be remembered as someone that people liked and knew that I wouldn't hurt anyone, knowingly. And that I tried to do positive things in the community and with our family. I feel that on the boards I speak up, someone told me that I was a conscience of that particular group. I'm not a yes person. If I don't agree, I speak up and tell you why I don't agree. And being raised in the Depression, I like value. I don't like to throw money away. I think the young people today, even in organization work, it's somebody else's money. And they spend money freely. And it shocks me. There should be more discrimination as to what is done with institutional money and organization money. And I like value.
Any other advice?
I don't like to advise people.
That's the advice.
I hope that I'm an example of someone who aims for high ideals. And I'm human. Everybody has their faults. I know my faults better than anyone else. And I'm interested in other people's lives. And doing oral history opened up a new world, too. And we'll find this helps you, too. I found out things about people that fascinated me. And I enjoyed that.
Well, I think this concludes a very interesting interview, and we thank you very much.
Thank you for coming and giving up your time and letting me ramble on.
All right.